From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, let's get straight down to it. It's Monday, the 1st of March, 2023. This is a live session, talkback session with Nicola Charles and myself. We're going to be joined by Darren Denslow. Jeff's aiding and abetting us in the studio. People are on the live chat. And everybody seems to be triggered by the same thing this morning, and it even popped up on the news feed just before this show started here. It was to do with this deviant who was in a school in the Isle of Man. Okay, a deviant, that's what it was. It wasn't a drag queen or it was a deviant, a pervert, a sexual pervert was allowed into a school. It's disgusting. And this is strange. Darren has just sent a message on our Zoom chat to say, I almost spoke about this morning. I've highlighted it as a little lead-in article, Nicola, to our chat this morning. It came up on the TNT news feed. Even Holly is in the chat this morning at the minute and said, this segment has made me mad. Who the hell employed these people in the first place? Grr, angry face. And listening back, Nicola, sorry, I'm off on one already. I'm right out the gates this morning.
Go.
But listening back, listening back to our little news clip, when this was being described, let me say this, the teacher that was instructing these children in sexual acts, 12-year-old children, her words were, I wasn't comfortable doing it, but guess what? She did it anyway. Mm. She's disgusting. She's just as bad. The parents that said, we're going to get a petition together to ask why this is happening. The parents are just as disgusting. They should be down in arms with the police, arresting the school and holding the Board of Governors accountable. And the deviant that was in that school perverting those children should be banged up for sexually perverting minors and face trial and jail time. That's what I say. Too much pussyfooting around with this business. That's why these deviants and these perverts and these twisted demonic entities are getting away with what they're getting away with in our school. Oh, I'm not comfortable with this. I think I'll write a petition about this. The cops just stand back and let it happen. Listen, what chance do kids have these days when their own parents, the police, and their own bloody educational authorities will do absolutely jack to protect them from this satanic influence? Ugh. That's what I have to. And good morning, everyone, by the way. I hope everybody's well. This is TNT Radio.
I understand.
That's off my chest now.
I understand because I've spoken to you before, Rick. I spoke to you when I was interviewed on Locked and Loaded before I was working with TNT about my own son that went into the classroom that was hauled up in front of his peers and told to write on a whiteboard whether he was straight, gay, or bi. And when he wrote straight, she said, I'm very disappointed in you. That was absolutely devastating for me. And I talked about it again and again. And there was no outrage. It was as if it was in a vacuum. It was an isolated incident. And I knew it wasn't an isolated incident. You're talking about this person is a predator, this person is a pervert, this was child abuse. Who do you think sent that person into that school in the Isle of Man? It was the government. So if you're going to take action against anyone, it was the government who set that person in. And the teacher that allowed it and stood there and said she was uncomfortable was just taking her pieces of silver, because morality and principles have gone out of the window. People don't care anymore. Those children, those 11 and 12 year olds were right. There are two genders. And yet they were taught about sex changes, oral sex and anal sex. Absolutely disgusting. This is a government who has a curriculum, which was apparently instated on that Isle of Man in September last year, that is trying to drag children before they are sexually mature, kicking and screaming into sexual maturity. I think it's revolting. It's disgusting. And there needs to be action taken to the person in government who put pen to paper and made that part of the curriculum, are my thoughts.
Yeah, and shame on, and I know people get put into positions where they're uncomfortable, but hell's bells, you'd have to put a gun to my head and then pull the trigger and blow my brains out before I would deviate and try and pervert a child's mind. That's just a fact. I've got a lot of shortcomings in my life. I'm not an angel, but listen, Nicola, you would literally have to put a bullet in my skull before I would do that. So it'd be, oh, I'm uncomfortable with this. I'm not going to do this. To hell with it. And to hell with the agenda. And here's it. This isn't even, I mean, this is just a quick reference to get us kicked off this morning. And listen, if you're out there and you're unhappy with this, don't just sit mealy-mouthed and keep your trap shut. Phone in and make your voice be heard. Don't let it just be the representatives of TNT Radio that are kicking up a stink while you sit back and listen to us have a go. Let the world know that it's everybody, not just people that are put with a microphone in front of their face, that are outraged and disgusted with this. That applies to the keyboard warriors and the silent partners out there too. Damn it! That's why we're in this position at the minute. Too many people sitting on their hands going, well, Rick's talking about it. Nicola's talking about it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to talk about it. Get your fingers out of your asses and do something. This is the next generation and this is kids we're talking about and it's pissing me right off. But anyway, you can tell it's a little bit of an emotive subject for me here this morning, so I must take a deep breath. To add insult to injury, this is to bookend this disgusting incident. One of the kids in the school, in the class, actually piped in and said, there isn't 73 genders, there's only two. And Deviant kicked the kid out of the class. He made the kid go and stand outside the class while he continued to pervert his classmates or her classmates. So whoever that kid is, I don't know who that kid is, but kid, whoever you are, you get a big salute from Rick Munn this morning on TNT Radio. You've got more morals and scruples and spine and gonads than any adult, teacher, or anybody else in your circle for taking a stand and being booted out of the class. Nicola, this is, I'm sorry to say this, but we can talk all we like about how we're winning and on how we're getting freedom of speech and how we're allowed to say this now and we're not getting, it's all bollocks because you see, as long as our kids are being perverted in school, we have no future. Mm-hmm. End of story. If we're allowing this to happen to kids, there is no future. I wish people could get that into their thick skulls.
Well, think about this. Just think about this for 1 second. Just think about this one point. If you're a parent who has an 11 and 12 year old child and they bring home a couple of kids from school for a play date to play video games, you know, Xbox, whatever, and they're all sitting in a room and you as a parent go in and talk to those children who were on a play date in your house about sex changes, oral sex and anal sex, you're going to jail. That's what's going to happen. You're going to jail. And they're taking that into schools.
Yeah, and no apologies for that at all. They deserve to be in jail and they deserve to get a very, very hard time when they're in jail. That's assuming, of course, they get locked up with other men that don't claim that they're women and get banged up with the women in Scottish prisons, which is another insane policy that we've talked about here on TNT Radio. I must take a little sip of H2O. I must inhale and compose myself. Darren, his ears are pinned back already. We're going to welcome him in a split second. We'll have more news to talk about here on TNT Radio.
Keeping you updated on the latest.
In the car while I'm driving home.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, Darren, my old son, thanks for being patient there. US should not let the WHO, the WHO, that's the World Health Organization, not Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey, usurp its pandemic response authority, says Senator Roger Marshall. This is something that's rearing its ugly head again this year. This was the talk of the town around about May, June last year with this WHO pandemic treaty. Didn't get off the ground then, but they said they were kicking the can down the road into 2023. Well, guess what? It's now 2023 and the can has stopped again. What's happening?
Yeah, very, very quietly, this document known as Draft Zero. So it's still sort of the fundamental sort of document. There's still going to be a lot of changes to it. It's the first draft, but that's been quietly signed off by Joe Biden. I believe it's also gone through the UK Parliament, and probably every other country that's signed up to the WHO has also agreed in principle to this document, but very, very quietly. And it was brought up by Andrew Bridgen yesterday in Parliament, and WEF and leader of the House of Commons, Penny Mordaunt, just basically dismissed him and said that this is too important in case of a future health crisis. The WHO recently introduced an early stage draft proposal for a convention, agreement, or other international instrument for coordinating global pandemic responses. The draft document states that the WHO intends for this pandemic response agreement to achieve greater equity and effectiveness for pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response through the fullest national and international cooperation. I love that fluffy language. The document lays out goals for international coordination to prevent and respond to disease outbreaks. The draft document further describes the sharing of pandemic-related products, including diagnostics, vaccines, personal protective equipment, and therapeutics, to enable equitable distribution, in particular to developing nations. The WHO proposal comes amid heightened skepticism of the organization following its response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And Roger Marshall is the Republican who has actually signaled that there is some hesitancy to this. We're concerned that the WHO, the World Health Organization, may be able to usurp government decision making in the case of a pandemic. And I've just got a couple of notes, things that are definitely likely to happen with this treaty. Mm-hmm. In the case of a pandemic, 5% of developed nations' GDP may be devoted to the pandemic response. That's almost certainly going to happen. Lots of money. NATO only asked for 2%. The rules around misinformation will be dictated by WHO because of their guidance. So if you speak against their guidance, whatever that might be, that's likely to be restricted or censored. That's almost certainly going to happen. And here's the kicker. This document allows WHO to very easily declare a pandemic so that it can get that 5% and create rules for governments to censor people. You see how it works. Now, they might not have de facto New World Order government status when they declare a pandemic. That might not be the case, but they don't need to. They just need to declare a pandemic, scoop up some money, create rules around censorship, and then the governments will just do their thing. And we've seen what the governments do when they do their thing. They lock us down, they jab us up, they mask us up, and they take our freedoms away. So although those aspects about mandated vaccines and everything may not be implicit in the document, WHO can create the environment for the governments to do that? And I think that is a major, major concern with this document. And listening to the House of Commons yesterday with our World Economic Forum leader of Commons and her statement, it seems like that this WHO treaty is going to be officially signed off by all governments come 2024, 2025. Nicola, Rick.
Yeah, they can sign off on whatever they want. I'm not doing it, and no one I know is going to do it. This is actually stage one is the framework. So a lot of money, time, and effort goes into the framework. So there's more time to go. But obviously, it's not very good that they're building the framework. And my concern is this. Yes, you know, there's a lot of us sitting here going, oh, my God, what about us? And they're going to mandate vaccines and all this kind of stuff. And it's going to be hell on earth. Yes, it probably will be. But I'll tell you what I think they're going to do first, because they've started here in the West. I think there are so many countries that are going to sign off on this. If they see that we all sign off on it, that they're going to target some of these African nations, and they're going to go in like they've been going in for years and years and years, and they are going to force vaccinate these people because they've done it before. Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation have been in Africa and India before. And so I think what this hands the wet work of something really ugly, something we're not really allowed to talk about, but we know is going on. This hands that wet work to the World Health Organization so that nations can walk away blame free from whatever comes from this. And I think it's absolutely disgusting.
And do you know what else this is going to do? think about this. The one thing that they tried to operate in over the last 3 years was the so-called lockstep. Now, they were very successful doing that in many places, but not all places, and not to the same degree. What this will do is the WHO will set the regulations rather than the individual countries. Then the individual countries will have to fall in line with the WHO lockstep. So you have one authority or one body effectively setting the rules, dictating what medicines will be used, what doctors will be listened to. If there's going to be a lockdown, will there be masking mandates? Will there be vaccinations and so on? It's how many times you'll get them rather than individual countries doing that. And what I think this will do as well, above everything else, it will pull everybody together. It, as you say, though, Nicola, if it's successful, because I think people have had a skinful over the last 3 years and the thought of going back to being locked down and mandated with masks, I think people have had a right old skinful, but that's what they're plan is. So we're just discussing their plan. Obviously, we have to comply in order for it to be implemented. And I don't know about you chaps and chapettes, but Rick Money and complying with Jack, you're going to have to put a gun again to my head and pull the trigger before. And I'm just not having it.
You've got to understand as well. You talk about it, the World Health Organization as a body. It is not a body. Its primary funder is Bill Gates. What you're essentially doing is handing godlike decision-making over life and death to Bill Gates, and is that something you're comfortable with? It might be called the World Health Organization, but it's Bill Gates. He's their primary funder.
It's anything but anything to do with your good health. And in fact, it is a health organization, Nicola, but it promotes bad health and death. Yeah. Okay, so they're a bit fluffy, as Darren says. The fluffy terminology, World Health Organization, sounds good. And yes, they're very interested in your health, listeners. They really are interested in my health, but not to promote my longevity and my strength, physical and mental and spiritual strength. No, they want to get shot of the like of us, Nicola. We are a liability in their eyes, but we ain't going anywhere. No, we're very resilient, us TNT folk. We're resilient and we ain't going anywhere. So anyway, Darren, muchas gracias. Asante sana. Merci beaucoup.
See you later.
I don't know why I'm speaking foreign languages. Appreciate it, but we'll speak again in another 45 minutes or so here on TNT Radio. Nicola Charles, me, Jeff, and the studio listeners, you're all welcome. We'll be right back after these ads.
TNT Radio's Chris Smith.
The world, though, is a fool for seeing this carnage between Russia and Ukraine in black and white terms. It's not black and white. There is no outright baddie, as much as there is no outright hero. The truth lies somewhere in between. And for mine, it's beginning to reflect very poorly on this actor-cum-president Vladimir Zelensky. I detest Vladimir Putin, but hear me out. We are nonchalantly heading into a second year of more horrific destruction with no end in sight. Whatever it takes, says Joe Biden. The defense secretary says whatever it takes. How much will you spend? Whatever it takes. Well, sorry, but Zelensky's as hawkish as anyone in this fight. And his latest promise was a vow to defeat everyone. Everyone? Hang on. Even with NATO's support, there's no certainty he can defeat Russia, let alone everyone. Why would he say everyone unless he's getting carried away with his own self-importance? And yet, what's the world saying? Off the back of ignorant prompting from Western leaders, oh, we're on Ukraine's side and Russia will surrender. Well, as my late father Norm might say in these circumstances, pig's ass, Russia will surrender.
Chris Smith on TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds. And they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook
has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, And the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
Our lines are now open. Call Nicola Charles and Rick Munn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Just a quick shout out to all the lovely folk inhabiting the live chat before we take a call here. Mazzy's in there, Skippy's in there. Mike Ryan, actually, no joke, is even in the live chat this morning. It's that good. It's that good. Nell is in there. Old Man is in there, who I believe is listening in from somewhere in America in the middle of the night at the minute. So, Old Man, you're very welcome. Antonia's in there. Various other heads and folk are in there. I'm just scrolling quick. Through, just I don't want to neglect you lovely people, so a big shout out to you. And we have Nick from Victoria on the line right now. Nick, what's the story?
Hi, Nick.
G'day, Nick. G'day, Rick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good, how are you?
A bit out of breath, I'm just walking the dogs. Okay. Look, I just wanted to talk about the truth and truths, just the difference between the two. Is that all right?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay, like, love your radio show, love the program, love a lot of the shows that are on there, but we're hearing a lot of truths coming out, and the truth is a little bit neglected. We get snippets and tidbits. We get the truth shall make you, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, that type of thing. You get the odd little verse here and there, but most of the time it's taken out of context. Even that one itself. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's actually, and you will know that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ask is both. What's the most important word in that scripture?
It depends on who you're talking to. Different people will have different answers to that question. Okay, what do you think is the most important word?
Okay, if you want the truth, there's only one answer. The answer is and. The most important word in that verse is John 8:32. It's the word and. So if you have the word and in something, my mother and my father, before my mother is my father and my mother. The word and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free tells you there's something before that scripture. That's very important to know what comes before it. And that's John chapter 8, verse 31, where Jesus says unto the Jews that believed on him, that's one, if you continue in my word, that's two, you shall be my disciples indeed. That's three. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus says in four verses later in 36, he says, he who the Son has freed is free indeed. So the only truth that can free us is Jesus Christ himself. It's not knowing about COVID and 9/11 and moon hoax and JFK and all that. Look, I've been into this stuff for over 30 years. I've been talking to people for over 30 years. I've been the mad tinfoil hat wearing guy for that long. I'm there wearing a full body armor of tinfoil. Unfortunately, most people don't want to hear it when it comes to the literal truth of Jesus Christ is the truth. As he told us in John chapter 14, verse 6, he's the way, the truth, and the life.
I personally agree with everything that you've just said. I know those verses very well. And some people will be listening and going, well, I don't believe in all that. I'm not a Christian. I don't have a faith. I'm an atheist. But that's fine. People can believe whatever they like. However, I believe the same thing. And use the word and as being a very important word there. And the last verse that you just quoted where Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He is actually the embodiment of truth itself. So when people talk about you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free, that's talking about Jesus Christ himself.
He asked him, what is truth? Truth was looking at him in the face and he didn't recognize it. It's like,
well, you know what?
Hear the truth, no one can tell it to you.
I, I agree with that, and that would be my message also. So you know what? Maybe someone out there is listening and they needed to hear that this morning, a little bit of spiritual counterbalance to all the filth and dirt and perversion that's going on in the world right now. So many thanks, Nick, for calling in with that. We appreciate it. And yeah, people can take it or leave it. I've taken it. You can leave it, listeners. You can do whatever you please, but it's all good. So that was Nick from Victoria, and now I'm going to talk to Nick from Victoria, as in Nicola Charles. Nicola, how are you, by the way?
I never thought about that.
It's half an hour into the show here right now, and I haven't even said hello. I'm sorry. How are you?
I'm okay. I've been digging deeper into sort of the Australian media and what they're putting out there, and it's been pretty shocking as well. I'm sure you've been seen. I've been pretty active on my Twitter account. If you want to see some of the shocking stuff that is being bandied around as media in Australia, go to All Bite No Bark 88 on Twitter, and you will see some of the stuff that is being called news and social and political commentary down here, down under. And you know, it's just amazing to me. I prefer, honestly, to sit on the world news stage. Obviously, I lived in America for a while and I'm British. So, you know, I tend to focus on things politically, but it's really gone to pot down here in Australia, Rick, and it's a real shame. So that's what I've been doing.
Do you know what? That's another thing that's happening in lockstep. The world is going to pot. It really is. And, you know, I know there's a lot of optimistic people out there, and I am an optimist, I suppose, but I'm also a realist. So whilst I have hope, same, Nicola, and we've talked about this, you and I, before, we both have hope that there could be a resolution to all this. Given the trajectory that we're on, given some of the things that we're seeing happening in schools, and not just isolated to the Isle of Man, this is in Australia, this is in Scotland, this is in Ireland, this is in America, this is right across the world. Mostly, however, African countries, for example, would not tolerate this. This is not being taught in Russian schools. This is not being taught in Chinese schools. Now, think about this for a minute, and I'm not lumping Africa in as our enemies, in inverted commas, but what I'm saying is this coalition that NATO is fighting against, which would predominantly be Russia and China, they sure as hell aren't perverting their children. They sure as hell aren't teaching nonsense in schools. They haven't got the algorithm geared up to twerking women or twerking boys or twerking girls on Instagram accounts. No, they're shielding and protecting the next generation, because they realize if you lose the next generation, you've lost it all, Nicola. That's unfortunately the position that we're in the so-called developed West.
I think I can see what they're doing, you know, because I've come back enough now and I'm trying to look at it from a distance. I think what they're trying to do, the end game will be that those of us who in just 2018, 2019 would have been considered normal, you know, you just have normal values, family values, values as a human, as a citizen, they are going to shove us into a category that they're calling far right. And so what they're trying to normalize, and we've talked about this before, is their extreme left views. And so if you're not sitting normally in these nasty extreme left views and on board with drag queen story time and all that kind of stuff, then you're going to be pushed into the far right, because what was normal and in the middle and libertarian is being pushed somewhere else, and they're just inhabiting the normal sphere with all their filth. I think that's what's happening from my POV.
Yeah, your POV is an accurate POV, I believe. And yeah, that's all we're simply trying to do, is relay that POV here to our lovely listeners, many of whom would also agree with that. Hopefully, we're also getting through to those that maybe are undecided or on the fence. And listeners, by the way, you have a duty. You have a civic duty to perform, and that is to inform your friends, your family, or whoever will listen to you, that there is an alternative out there to the garbage that's being spewed out on the TVs and the radios and the newsstands of this world. And the alternative is TNT Radio. You know, you can love us or hate us, but we're doing our best to provide an alternative, honest counter to the mainstream narrative that is out there. So please help us to spread the word also. As we work here on air, you can be aiding and abetting us off air, as I know many of you already do, actually. And a big salute to all of you that are already spreading the word. So we've got to take a little break right now, Nicola. And when we come back, yeah, we've plenty to talk about this morning. Maybe we'll get to talk about one or two things that we've highlighted, or maybe we won't, as is our way. But this is live. This is TNT Radio. I'm Rick Munn. That's Nicola Charles. And we'll be right back after this short break. Don't go away.
Now, TNT Radio News.
I have huge news.
Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Do it.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. A school on the British Isle of Man has been forced to suspend its sex education program after a drag queen was brought in to lecture 11-year-old kids on 73 different genders. A passenger train collided with a freight train in Greece shortly after midnight on Wednesday, killing and wounding at least 100 people. And it's been revealed grocery prices in the UK have surged to a new record high of 17.1%.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Rick Munn and Nicola Charles now. From the US and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, Nicola, where are we going next? You've got the steering wheel. Where are we going?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
And don't drive us off the road, please. Try and stay on the old asphalt this morning.
I will stay on the asphalt. There's this story. We didn't know that the water and soil from the Ohio train wreck would be transported here. Texas and Michigan are up in arms because, you know, obviously if you're in Ohio, you're worried about the toxicity in the water and the air in the soil. But as I did say on TNT, that Ohio River actually provides up to 10% of all water across the United States coming off at various points. So now they're finding in Texas and Michigan that they have actually received water from Ohio, and understandably, they're not very happy about it.
No, they're not. And there were figures bandied about with the amount. They were trying to put an estimate on how much polluted water is in Ohio and how much polluted soil is in Ohio. How they came up with these estimates, I do not know. But they estimated it at, modeling it, which is always wrong. But in this case, when it comes to something that's genuinely bad, they seem to underestimate the figures. And when it seems to something that's harmless, they tend to overestimate the figures. So here's the figures that I've seen. They reckon there's 1 million gallons of polluted water in Ohio, 1 million gallons. And let's be honest, that Ohio River you're talking about, probably 1 million gallons will flow past any specific point in about a 60-second period. So that figure is BS, in my opinion. And also 15,000 pounds, and they use the old pounds measurement, of soil has been contaminated. I'd say it's more like 15 billion tons of soil has been contaminated. But they're scooping it up. As you've rightly highlighted, they're scooping it up and they're getting rid of it. And here's the thing, they're coming out and saying, well, you know, you don't really have anything to be concerned about, you folk. There's nothing really to be concerned about. If that's the case, Nicola, why are they taking the water and the soil and putting it into transport and shipping it to other states? And then when it arrives, the other states are saying, you can't dump that here. We're not having it. Sure, it's only soil and water. If it's not contaminated or too toxic, what's their big problem? Unless, of course, it is leaping with all kinds of contaminants. It's a real mess, this one, isn't it?
But it's polluted. You're shipping pollution. It's bad enough that the pollution has happened in East Palestine, Ohio. Why on earth are they shipping that around? It says the EPA will ensure that all waste is disposed of in a safe and lawful manner at EPA-certified facilities. However, until last Friday, Norfolk Southern, the rail company, not known for their EPA standards, clearly, has been solely responsible for the disposal of waste generated by the East Palestine derailment. We don't know what they've done. This could have been like The Sopranos. They could be bagging this up and throwing it in the forest. We don't know what this train company's done with it. They haven't told us. They haven't given us a location. And now we find out that there's pollution traveling to other states. I mean, yeah, it looks good, doesn't it, in East Palestine, piling it up onto trucks and going, don't worry, we're handling it. We're getting it out of here. But we don't know where it's going. We have the same problem in Australia. They try and get rid of these toxic solar panels because people don't realize when they're embedded bed at night under their lovely expensive solar panels on the roof, that they are also full of a lot of toxic chemicals. And what do? Australia say that they benevolently donate them to poorer countries because they don't have the same, you know, climate environmental measures. And so we're gifting them our old solar panels, and they're toxic and they're full of poisons, and they end up in a landfill, and African children go in and get covered in these toxins because they try and find tiny little bits of metal that they can sell. This is just a disaster. This is just them palming it off onto someone else again.
It is. And of course, they say they will obviously comply with all safety regulations. And they, I quote here, the EPA will ensure that all waste is disposed of in a safe and lawful manner at EPA certified facilities to prevent further release of hazardous. Yeah, exactly. Where are these places?
Where are they? Give me the address.
prevent hazardous substances and impacts to communities, the department said. In other words, it's probably going to be tipped into the local nearest river or stream or the nearest local fly tipping site. And here's the thing too, there's another figure, sorry, I'm just reading out from this article here, there's another figure that's been bandied about. 2 million gallons of firefighting water from the Trail derailment site were expected to be disposed of. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, if you've ever seen a fireman with a hose putting out a fire, the water gets spread all over the building, it gets spread all over the ground. How the hell do they collect the 2 million gallons of firefighting water? What, are they brushing it up off the street? It hasn't evaporated. This story stinks to high heavens, doesn't it? It's either that or it's actually been contaminated in the fire trucks before it actually got to be used, in which case it permeated through the metal casing of the trucks. Either way, Nicola.
Spreading it all the way.
They're spreading it all around. They're spreading the love when it comes to the toxic contamination in Ohio. It's a bit of a shocker. I really genuinely do feel for the people that are in that place, because the one thing they should have... And around, yeah. But imagine you're in the place that you live in Victoria, and there's been a horrific, and I mean a horrific, eco disaster. There's been toxic chemicals pumped into your water supply, into your air, into the ground in which you're walking every day. Your kids are there, your animals are there, everything. The one thing that you should reasonably expect as a Victorian is, well, surely the government will help me. Surely the government will acknowledge my plight. Surely they'll do something for me. And Donald Trump rocks in, right? Donald Trump rocks in with Make Trump Victoria water. Great hat on with his Trump-branded water and said, don't worry, Nicola, there's a Big Mac for you. Everything's going to just be A-okay. Those people have been criminally neglected, have they not, by the American government.
Yeah, the Ohio governor, this guy Mike DeWine, said that 4,832 cubic yards of soil that he knows of have been removed from the ground in East Palestine, and 6 truckloads took it, and they said they were going to Michigan. Oh, hello, Michigan. Share the love. You're getting the toxic waste. And you know what? You talk about Victoria. We do and did and continue to have that problem. They have a massive building project here. We've got the Westgate Bridge, and the Westgate Bridge connects the two sides of Melbourne. It's huge, scary suspension bridge. And apparently that needs work, and certain architects say it's going to fall down. So they've been working on the Westgate Tunnel. Now, when they dug deep under the Westgate Tunnel, and why they didn't have equipment to find this out to start with, I don't know. But they dug deep to build this Westgate Tunnel, and now it's years behind schedule. And what piped up? Masses of toxic waste underneath the ground. So apparently they bagged all that up and sent that somewhere. So who knows? It could be in the bags of compost I pick up from the hardware store. You just don't know. All I know is my tomatoes didn't grow this year. So something's going on. I don't think they care, honestly, where they put this toxic waste anywhere.
Tomatoes and chickens are really getting it tight in 2023. You know, they're burning the chicken factories. They want to get rid of eggs. And then tomatoes, this whole business of tomatoes and the so-called tomato famine in the UK, people are getting worried that they can't get... Do you know what, Nicola? But people only worry about things. Yeah, exactly. But people, do you not find that people only start to worry about things when they think they can't get them? So, for example, people are now up in arms because they can't get tomatoes. very few people I know actually are, you know, rushing out to the shops every day to buy fresh tomatoes.
Oh,
but
do.
When they're
I
told they
them.
Can't get, I do too. But what I mean is when you're told you can't get them, you're even more desperate to get them, whether you use them or not. And think about the toilet roll business from 3 years ago.
That
when
was
there
hilarious.
Was panic
toilet paper
buying
gate.
On toilet rolls. People were worried they couldn't clean their asses, but they didn't care that they were potentially going to die from a so-called
Rick.
Toxic. It's very important, but come on, you know,
what was it
they were buying? Paracetamol and toilet paper. Yep.
Yeah. Toilet paper gate, we called it. I was on radio at the time then as well. And I was laughing at toilet paper gate because I thought the pandemic would last like 3 months. And here I am 3 years later. Ha ha, big joke. But it's the same principle across human behavior, isn't it? You know, if you have a healthy sex life, then marriage is 5% of your brain capacity in your relationship. And if you're not having a good sex life, it's 95% of what you think about. So it's obviously the same with eggs, tomatoes and toilet paper, Rick.
Toilet paper is right. And listen, to, you know, I remember seeing our local chemist here, our pharmacy, you couldn't buy toilet roll in any of the supermarkets, so they started to sell it. Then it sold out. Then the demand dropped off. But what they had done was they'd bought the very, you know, there's very expensive toilet paper and there's cheap and nasty toilet paper. They're expensive stuff's like four sheets together. It's got aloe vera on it, you know, to make things nice and nice down below there. And it's got patterns on it, quilting on it. They bought lots of that stuff in, and then when the demand dropped, it was about $15 or $30 for a 9-pack of this stuff, and then they couldn't even give the stuff away because nobody was insane enough to spend that money on bog roll or loo roll or toilet.
Oh, it was the other way here.
So,
here they bought those paper sheets out in the end that, you know, used to be in the box holders in school, and it didn't clean anything. It just spread it around. It was like
it just wiped it around.
Yeah, it was
I'm having a flashback to my school days in primary school. We used to have this stuff, and it was like, you know, greaseproof paper, you know, that
that's
you use
exactly
for baking.
That's exactly what they were selling. Yeah.
That's what it was like, and it was like transparent, and that's what you're supposed to use.
It's still around.
How did we get through school? You would have been in the UK at that time as well, actually.
I was.
That would have been in the late 70s, early 80s, back in primary school days.
Yeah.
Oh my, how things have changed, Nicola, how things have changed.
I remember thinking about that toilet tissue in UK primary schools. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking grown-ups do not have it all worked out. This is rubbish.
It's terrible, the things. I suppose that was the beginnings of abusing children. It started off in the cubicles with that tracing paper, see-through muck that they gave you to do your business after you had done your business. This is a very meandering conversation, but it's a good one. It's maybe bringing back a lot of fond and not so fond memories to our slightly older listeners in the UK and Ireland. We've got to take another quick break. When we come back, plenty more to come. If you're listening and you haven't been appalled at our talk of toilet paper and all sorts of shenanigans, feel free to give us a call. This is a talkback session. After all, this is TNT Radio and we'll be right back.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
In some places, the winter has been a godsend. The eastern part of the United States was warm in January and February, and this was a godsend given the energy situation. The western part of the country has been cold. We have a near record to record snowpack in the west. More is coming over the next 45 days or so. Very cold temperatures and a lot of snow. So the spring runoff is going to be big. And of course, with four times the amount of people in the western part of the United States using water than when we first designed these reservoirs out there, this is a big deal. In Europe, the same thing. We have had a godsend of a winter so far. Unfortunately for the United States and for Europe, the next 45 days are, well, if you like Warren Zevon, remember the song, Send Lawyers, Guns, and Money? Because you know what is about to hit the fan as far as late season cold goes at this time of the year. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Our lines are now open. Call Nicola Charles and Rick Munn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Just having a look at some of the comments in the chat. Nicola, old man, our chum from America, is saying in Ohio, he knows what's happening on the ground out there. He said there are people taking an opportunity here to milk this one, coming in from out of state, saying that the story has been overdone, underdone. They're affected when they haven't even maybe been living there. So it's a little bit like, I suppose, you know, these road traffic claims that happen in the UK. If you're in a car and you get hit, then everybody puts in for whiplash claims. So I think there's a lot of opportunists out there that are hijacking this this business in Ohio, a little bit like what we were referencing with Trump. He's obviously came down and tried to score some political points there. Obviously he's promoting himself, pushing his own branded Trump water, wearing his hat, and telling the McDonald's staff that he knows more about the menu than they do. So yes, point taken, old man. There is a lot of opportunists out there that are jumping on the back of this. Antonia said school in the 70s was brilliant. That was real education. Well, yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Mazzy said she used that toilet paper we were talking about for tracing cartoons. And yes, it was that sort of thing. You could actually draw on it with a pencil. And it was see-through. So yeah, she then goes on to describe some of her bowel habits. Thanks very much, Mazzy, but that's too much information for our wider public. There could be young children listening. But isn't it funny? The things that trigger people's memories, Nicola, you know, it can be infrared wallpaper one day and it can be see-through baking paper toilet roll the next day. That's just people, isn't it? It's all good.
But doesn't it make you sad? Because they're absolutely right. The education in the 70s, look, in the UK, obviously that's my experience, it wasn't perfect. But, you know, you did do sort of maths, English. I did physics, chemistry. They were just doing computer studies. That was just sort of emerging, learning binary coded decimal. And then you've got your art. And I did rural science as well because we were in the countryside. And my son goes to school now, and he's in a reasonably poshish school, right, here in Victoria. I had to get him out of state school. And when I look at his, you know, his schedule for the week, there's an awful lot of classes that say, you know, self-care and well-being and, you know, me time and all that stuff, self-reflection. And I say to him, is that a real class? And he says, yeah, that's a real easy one, Mum. And I'm sure it is. Like, come on. Can we please teach them what they need to know? It's like that meme. I saw one of those memes today and it said, a student put his hand up in class and said, could you please take, my dad says, can you teach me how to do a tax return? And the teacher said something very woke. I won't say it actually, because I don't approve of it. Very woke and inappropriate to the child about male menstruating. And, you know, that's what our kids are looking at. And there's all these memes going around where the kids are coming out of school and they're vomiting up a rainbow, you know, because how much can they take, right? We're focusing on the activities of an adult minority, a really small minority of the vast amount of people. And we're making the lifestyles and life choices of a very small minority of what should be adults, a 90%, it feels like, focus of children in school. Who okayed this? This has to come from Davos, because the same thing is happening in the Isle of Man. The same thing is happening in Melbourne. The same thing is happening in London and Belfast and all over, and definitely in America, because the parents are up in arms and they've been declared domestic terrorists because they've gone in and shouted at the governors and the board and said, why are you teaching this to our children? So why are we taking subjects for a minority and making it everything about the children's lives? I feel it must be to confuse them and destroy them. And it's devastating that we're going down this path. For me as a mother, I'm appalled.
Yeah, school, you know, that was a place a child could go and, you know, learn, allegedly learn. When I went to school as well, they still were allowed to beat us with sticks if we misbehaved, or even if we didn't misbehave, we could get a good old hiding by the teacher. And usually if you went home and you told your parents about it, they would say, what did you get that for? And if you were misbehaving, you could have got another thrashing. When you got home, the teachers were, you know, untouchable back then. But by and large, there was a lot of good ones, some bad eggs in there, of course, but there was some good ones too. And everything was cool. You went to school, you played football, you ran about at break time, you know, you got up to a little bit of mischief, you learned to read, write, and basic arithmetic, and everything was good. Nowadays, oh, I am thanking God my daughter is not of the age that she has to go through the education system from what preschool right the way through primary school, right the way through secondary school. Not something that I would want any child of mine to be going through these days. But listen, we've got to make the best of it. I've got to make sure we know what's on the curriculum, Nicola. And as a parent yourself of children that are in education right now, I think a lot of parents don't know what's on the curriculum. They don't know what the reading materials are in school, and they don't actually know what their children are being taught or not being taught when they're in school.
I think, not much.
And I don't mean this in the way that it sounds, but there's a lot of parental ignorance out there right now. Parents are stressed about their lives. They're doing their jobs. They're trying to put food on the table and deal with all the other crap that's going on. It's almost like, well, the kids are in school now. I don't have to worry about that right now. But in fact, that could actually be the biggest source of their problems going forward, is the stuff that those kids are getting exposed to. We need to know what's on the curriculum, don't we?
Yeah, well, it's difficult though, because the way they've set it up as well, and there's different ones for different countries and schools and levels of education, but you're not even really allowed to talk to the teachers anymore, because you have to do everything through these school apps. So you have to look at their schedule in the school app. You have to tell them that if your child is sick through the school app, you have to look if they've got any reports or they've had any problems or anything like that is all in the school app. So you're sort of separating the relationship between the parent and the teacher anyway. And you can really push to speak to one and they might call you. Even in a good school, they might not. But, you know, I knew schooling globally was going down the pan when my daughter, who's an older teenager now, like yours, Rick, when they started handing them these scientific calculators, these really fancy calculators for maths, because they weren't learning anything. They were just punching numbers into a calculator. And you know, luckily my husband is really good at maths because he used to own a business where he took money and he had to deal with a lot of maths. And he taught them how to sit down with a piece of paper and know how to do maths, because honestly, they are raising generations of children who actually don't understand how to add up and take away. They just don't.
They don't. And it is pretty frightening, the amount of, you know, I mean, one thing I did retain from school was, you know, basic, decent mental arithmetic, and I'm reasonably good at writing, you know, that sort of stuff that was drummed into you back in the 70s and 80s in school, you know, comprehension, reading and writing. You had to do little class tests in it, and if you didn't, you know, you made to stand in the corner like a moron or kicked out of the school for being stupid. But it incentivized people to make a little bit of an effort. And these days, no, everybody's a winner in school these days. Everybody gets a prize in sports day. There are no first, second. Everybody's a winner. I think a little bit of healthy competition is no bad thing. There shouldn't be an emphasis placed on it. But if you take away the incentive to outperform and excel in life, what do you have? You just have this socialist mindset where everybody's the same, everybody deserves the
same.
But
it's not even on the agenda, Rick. It's just woke issues. It's not even on the agenda to do well. Yeah.
They're just turning their kids' brains. They're turning their kids' heads into mush with video games, constantly being online, what they're being able to be exposed to on social media. Then when they go into school, it's more of the same. I think that's the agenda right here, Nicola. They're trying to turn kids' minds literally into mush that they can then easily program whatever agendas they have into them whenever they get them for those 35 or 40 hours a week in the so-called schools. And I don't call them schools anymore. They're not schools anymore by definition. Are they not like a cross between a prison and an indoctrination camp right now? I mean, are they even schools anymore? That's a question.
I do feel when I drive past that, look, there's the indoctrination center, and I feel sorry for the kids. And there's actually sort of a pandemic of something called school reform. refusal going on here in Victoria, and it's because kids don't want to go into school and listen to all this woke rubbish. And the things that are being promoted are actually kicking off a lot of issues in the class, because it's ending up sort of dividing the class between those that they would call homophobic and those that aren't. You know, it's basically a mirror of what we're seeing in society, where they're trying to separate people on two sides, and it's working with the children. It's actually causing a lot of depression, a lot of bullying. And so we've even got programs here in Victoria called school refusal programs, not for kids who are homeschooled, not where they've made the decision and the parents have homeschooled them, where they're meant to be in school, but they are refusing to go because of these woke agendas, but because of the problems it's causing in the classroom. Now we've got programs for it. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, and speaking of attendance as well, you know, a lot of parents these days are looking at alternatives. You've looked at it, I looked at it, about homeschooling, and it's viable, it works. But in Brazil, a week or two, we were covering how the new president, Lula, is introducing state benefits, or UBI, to the poorest people in society based on vaccinations, childhood vaccinations. But it's also dependent on childhood attendance in school. So if your kid isn't jabbed up the way the government wants it to be jabbed up, and in school, learning the curriculum that the government is pumping into your head, then the parents that need governmental support are having that financial tap turned off. And listen, I'm all for school attendance if the school's decent and if they're not perverting the kids' heads. No problem at all with that. But when you think about it, it might be to the child's best interest to be bunking school these days rather than to be sitting in woke-fest classrooms exposed to perverts and deviants, the like of which we started off the show with, talking about that are gyrating and performing and corrupting kids in the Isle of Man and many, many other places as well. Oh, tough time to be a kid these days. And we've got to be vigilant.
Yeah, I think it's actually really appropriate that we end the show re-talking about this Isle of Man issue. I advise everyone to look this story up. It's absolutely horrific. I hope that the parents and the kids speak out about it and that something's done. I believe it's being investigated. There's a review of some sort because it has to be stopped globally, not just on the Isle of Man.
Yep. Amen to that one. And as always, the music is playing. That means our hour has just flown away. But that's life, isn't it, Nicola? The good thing is we get to do this again tomorrow at the same time here on TNT Radio. Big thank you to your good self. Have a lovely evening in Victoria. And I shall be back after the news with Locked and Loaded and Dr. Bruce Scott. It will be a barnstormer also. Please don't go away.